Ireland Jewish Historical Society is pleased to present a conversation with an outstanding woman in the Jewish community of Rhode Island. She was born in Germany when the world was about to witness the event that changed mankind. The time was the early 30s when Adolf Hitler walked onto the world stage and World War II arrived. His incredible cruelties to the Jews gave the word anti-Semitism the most vicious, brutal sound in the history of our society. We speak to you now on January 4th, 2011. My name is Florence Markoff, and I am about to have a conversation with Betty Adler, a highly regarded member of the Providence Jewish community for many years. Hello, Betty.
Hi, Mom.
We want to thank you for sharing your thoughts and memories with us today.
It's a book.
Betty, you were born in Germany. How old were you when you came to America?
We left in 1939, May 39, I was 14. We lived a month in Belgium, 9 months in Guatemala, and I was 15, well, a month before 15, when we arrived in America on March 17, 1940.
That's when you arrived in Providence.
Yeah, no, in New York, and a few days later.
How did you happen to go to Guatemala? Why Guatemala?
Well, because I have fabulous family there. My family moved there, my grandmother's sister, in 1916 and never left. They're very comfortable. They have a good life. In fact, my cousin has first been Secretary of State for Guatemala and then Vice President of Guatemala. They would love him to become president, and the family begs him not to because political situation in Guatemala is very bad, and we don't want to endanger his life.
Now, you were living in Germany until you were almost 15.
Yes, 14.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was it like living in Germany?
Well, we were, in a way, very lucky. My dad had a good business. We were very comfortable. Had a maid, had a chauffeur, even had a Mercedes with a vase inside for flowers. We had it all. And it's very difficult to leave a country when you're comfortable and well off. But we could see the handwriting on the wall, and luckily my father had foresight and registered for a quota for America, because at the time, to be admitted to come to America, we were on a quota system. And that's how we came to America.
When you lived in Germany, were you aware of what was happening around you?
Of course, of course.
Now, what did you see? What did you feel?
Well, families were packing up, friends were packing up to leave to anywhere they could escape to. And of course, I too felt it somewhat on the street when I was walking. Sometimes I was called a Jew, or sometimes I was followed a little bit, but not to the extent that was very scary, until, of course, November 11th, 1938, the evening of Kristallnacht.
When the war began, were the people aware completely of the Nazi plans for the Jews?
Well, we weren't there when the war began. We were there in 33 up to 39, when progressively the persecution of the Jews got worse and worse.
So you were aware of it?
Of course.
Now,
very much so.
Was there, I always wondered, was there ever a unified Jewish resistance movement by the Jews in Germany? Did they fight the Nazis in any way?
Not that I can remember. Remember, I was young and shielded by my father and family, and but not to my knowledge.
Betty, why, as you look back in retrospect, why did Hitler hate the Jews the way he did?
Well, we had money, we were successful.
Was every Jew, did every Jew have money?
No, but many did. And he had to have some sort of a source. And I guess he picked the Jews. They were good people to pick on. Why? I really never questioned it. I just knew that he hated every Jew on the earth and he wanted to wipe them all out. That was his goal.
Why?
He didn't succeed, luckily.
It always intrigued me to find out what was there that made him hate the Jews the way he did.
All I can think of, most of them were comfortable, had a good business, were happy to exist in Germany. They were there generation upon generation. My family certainly was. And we had a good life there.
So for the most part, it was jealousy. Would you put it that way?
I really don't know. It must have been more than jealousy, of course.
Now, here is one explanation that I read, that it was written that as far as the Nazis were concerned, that France, Britain, and especially Russia were political enemies, whereas the Jewish situation was much worse. They were considered natural enemies of the Germans.
Of the Third Reich, yeah, that's right.
Natural enemies.
Well, remember, I was only 14. Now I'm mature, I've learned a great deal through life. But at the time, I was a mere youngster, and, I followed whatever rules I had to.
But from your vantage point right now, what do you think? What do you see when you look back?
That anybody who escaped was extremely lucky, because there's some wonderful people, 6 million, that vanished. And that was the biggest tragedy that hit the Jewish people in centuries.
Now, another thing that I always wondered about, how did the Germans know who was really Jewish and who wasn't? Well, so many Jews, as I understand it, had converted. They didn't practice Judaism. They considered themselves secular. How is it?
Well, they must have had, I'm sure we were all registered when we were born. So they're very good with records. The Germans are extremely accurate and keep terrific records. And I'm sure that's how they knew. Like you say, many were converted or didn't go to a synagogue, didn't belong to a temple, but they knew. In fact, the night they came looking for my father, there was a wonderful professor who lived next door to us and came and said, you know, I must apologize. And it's very difficult to go against the stream. It's much easier to go with the stream.
Because you were protecting yourself, in a way.
And he wanted to tell us that he was not for the Nazis, but he didn't know what to do about it.
I would like to think that there were some Jews that did fight the Nazis. Did you ever hear of any?
Not really.
No. No. It was
they must dead. Have been very scared, because they knew that ultimately they either end up at a concentration camp or were shot. They didn't think anything of
now,
shooting.
Now, how did it happen that you came to America? How did that work?
Well, first they, on November 10th in the evening, they came looking for my father. And he was on a business trip. And when he came back, they kept ringing the bell. They took him away, and he was gone for a week. But very lucky for us, he stayed in our city at the police station, and after a week they released him. So we were extremely fortunate. That was November, and we left the following May. Well, and that very day also was the day I had to leave school and was sent to a Jewish school. They called it the Jüdische Volksschule, where all the young Jewish people assembled. But of course, the learning was impossible. There were so many of us, and they couldn't handle it. But it was a storage place for young people until we were leaving the country.
Well, why was he selected for such unusual treatment?
Well, I imagine he was known, and he had certain privileges. Very lucky for us, for the family.
It was just luck, you think?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. Sheer luck.
Just sheer luck.
And then we also were extremely lucky because all our belongings, as we were leaving, were packed in two huge wooden boxes called lift vans, and all our belongings were packed in those lift vans, and we shipped them to Antwerp, and I had wonderful family there. My favorite Aunt Sarah lived in Brussels, and we put her in charge that once we found a home in America to release the lift vans and send them on to America. And World War II started September 2nd, 39. The furniture was released, the lift vans, September 1st, 1939. And we got all our belongings intact still to America. So we were extremely lucky in many ways, more so than many other people.
And you think luck played that important a role?
I think so. Connections and luck. Connections and luck.
Oh, well.
And money.
Oh, well, now we're talking about something else, aren't we? This is not luck. Well, is it not?
Well, to have family in Brussels where we could rely on to ship it.
Well,
to find refuge for us for a month in Brussels.
Now, when you came to the United States, you went to Guatemala first.
Yes.
Why Guatemala? Because you had relatives there. And how long did you stay in Guatemala?
9 months.
And why did you leave?
Because our quota came up for America, and my father was not permitted to work in Guatemala, and he had to make a living. We had to sustain the family. So we came to America on the quota system. And
what did your father do for a living?
Well, of course, he was in textile in Aachen. It was a textile town.
And when you say in textile, what does that mean?
Well, he happened to have a wholesale business, textile wholesale business. And when he arrived in America, in New York, he went to Hyers. Hyers is still in existence today. And he asked what would be the best place for him to settle his family and himself. And they suggested Providence, Rhode Island, because we had textile here in Rhode Island. But he never did do any business in textile. Instead, he worked for New England Stationery, the Wise family. That was a wonderful, wonderful family. They're still around. And he worked there till the day he passed on. In fact, he passed on calling on a customer for New England Stationery.
Now, coming back to your education in America, you went to school here.
Well, first in Guatemala.
First in Guatemala, and then in Providence. What school did you go to in Providence?
Hope High School.
Hope High School.
But the best part was about going to school in Guatemala. We went to a very good English-American school. And it's 10 o'clock, and I meet my stepsister in the corridor. And she said, "So, what are you learning?" I said, "How do I know? I don't know English, and I don't know Spanish." So, you're young, and you got to learn. And you got to learn pretty quick because you need to know what's going on in the world. So when we came to America and I started Hope High, at least I knew some English.
So it was just you and your father?
And my stepsister and my stepmother.
Oh, they were already with you in Germany.
My father married before we left. My mother passed on when I was 9, and I was 14 when we left. So he married, I think, a year before we left.
How long did you spend at Hope Street High School?
Just 1 year, 10th grade. And my stepsister said, you have to go to work, we need the money. And that was the end of my education in America and for my life. And I always regretted it very much. I came from a family that was extremely educated, and it broke my heart, but there wasn't much I could do about
it. But your father didn't step in and make any comments?
No, unfortunately he didn't.
He just let it go.
Yeah, unfortunately. I always regretted it, and I always felt that I missed something in life. But I've been extremely lucky. Life has been good, and I'm happy.
It has. Now, Betty, you when you met Carl, how old were you?
22, 23.
How did you meet him?
Well, we met on a blind date at Billy Payton's house on Harvard Avenue in Providence. And we had a wonderful relationship. And little by little, we went out to Boston to plays and here and there, had a wonderful time. And that very year, 1948, December 26, we were married and came back to the party the next year, married couple, the same party.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful, just wonderful.
Worked out very well.
And so you've been a happy woman ever since with your decision.
Definitely. I don't think Carl ever regretted it.
No, I'm sure Carl didn't regret it. Now, he was in the business at the time.
Yes.
What was Adler's hardware store like in those
days?
Well,
it wasn't a hardware store. It was an Army and Navy store. In fact, when World War II finished, my husband Carl and his brother Irving opened up a second store on Westminster Street, also an Army-Navy store. So Irving stayed with his father on Wickenden Street, and Carl was in business on Westminster Street. But the Thruway came along, and we had to close that store because the Thruway needed the piece of land. And they went back together, and in the early 60s, they saw a little hardware store across the street, and they said, if he can do it, we can do it. And so we did. So we went to hardware and gave up the Army Navy about 18, 19 years ago, completely hardware decorative hardware store today.
Well, your fame goes very far in your decorating business and your hardware store. Have you always enjoyed it? Have you had problems that you...
Every business has problems.
Every business does.
There wouldn't be a business around today that wouldn't have had a problem a problem.
What would you change?
Well, right now we're blooming. We're in business 91 years. We have a tremendous following. People are very happy to do business at Adler's, and I don't think we want to change anything. We never changed our location. We never got bigger. Many people asked us to spread out and start our business in some other location, a second location, but we felt we'd rather do a good business in one then not such a good business in two or three spots.
What was your role at the store?
Well, always some money, always housewares, always dealing with the customers, PR by all means, and I enjoy all those things. I love them.
And the people respond to you, I can assure you of that, because they tell me how helpful you are in...
Well, I don't know about that, but as long as they're happy customers and they come back, that's all we care about. And that they don't go to Walmart or some of the other big places. But most of them come to our store and say, oh, I hate Home Depot, I hope. I hate Walmart, but I can't say anything. I didn't send them there. I just welcomed them at Atlas and hope
so
they come
really
back.
Your role was PR.
Yes, in
you
many
really
ways.
Represented the spirit
yes,
of
I
the
do.
Adler Hardware yeah. Store.
Now, well, I also handle the money in the housewares department. It's always been
now,
handy.
You mentioned that it's going to be when? 100 years old in how long?
Oh, 9 more years. I won't
oh,
be
nine
around.
More years.
That's a bit. But.
And that is really quite an achievement for family store.
Well, we don't know if we'll make 100. Right now, we're happy to make 91.
Well, we certainly wish you the very best. You know that.
Thank you very much.
Now, your connections with people, how do you explain your talent in making contact with people?
Well, I just love people. I like to meet them, I like to greet them, I like to make them comfortable and happy.
Well, it would be wonderful if more people felt that way, wouldn't it, Betty?
Well, I think a lot of people do. Some are shy, some are not shy. I guess I'm not very shy.
Now, your son, when did he decide to come into the store?
He went to the university. He got an MBA. He's an accountant. He married. They lived in Boston, Scarsdale, moved to Chicago. And one day, my mother-in-law, who I absolutely adored, she was never my mother-in-law, she was always my mother. We had a wonderful relationship. And she called Mark one day when they were living in Chicago, and she said, Mark, come on home. We got a gold mine, and we could use you. Well, a while later, Mark called me. He said, Mom, what do you think I should do? I said, well, if there ever was a foolish question, that's it. So if Jan feels that way, I think you ought to come home. Because Janice's parents lived in Quincy, Mass. And they were living in Chicago at the time, had a baby, and of course we wanted them home. So my mother-in-law succeeded. And Mark and Jan and Rachel came home, and Janice was pregnant with Jonathan. And they lived here happily ever after. I hope happily.
I'm sure happily. Yeah.
Mark joined the business, and of course he's been
You've met so many interesting people along the way in your store. Who stands out in your mind? Some incident, some people. You want to give it some thought?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Met Mrs. Carter, John Kennedy, Ethel Kennedy.
Which Kennedy?
Ethel.
Ethel.
And John Jr. went to Brown. What did I say first?
You remember them?
Oh, sure. Mrs. Carter, whose daughter was at Brown, she came to the store, and she was just leaving. I realized who it was. I called her back, and we had a very nice conversation. Eugene Lee is one of my current wonderful friends. In fact, he left me a beautiful bottle of champagne the other day. He's a famous set designer, Wicked, and so on and so forth.
And Trinity.
Trinity, but New York.
And New York.
Oh, yeah. Showboat.
How about Chihuly?
Yeah, Dale. We're buddies. Definitely. And
so you met very famous people along the way.
Well, we're lucky to be in the location where
we are.
We're near Brown University in RISD. I mean, can't get much better
I know. I met the Bishop Wolf the other day at the movie, actually. And she asked if I had seen you lately.
Oh, really?
So, you see,
we're just very lucky that we are on the spot where we are, because it's unique, and we carry the merchandise that these people like. We have very nice people who work for us, and our customers love our employees, the way they're treated, and the way the management treats them. And I think that makes a great deal of difference. Plus, that we have 40,000 items at Atlas. We have a few things to pick from, to choose from.
Well, would you say that your location is one of the most important parts?
Yes, the east side. Yeah.
So you really epitomize that famous saying, location, location, location.
Yes, it definitely helps.
It
definitely
makes.
Well, according to Carl, Wickenden Street was not always the way it is today. We evidently had a bar there a few blocks up that attracted the wrong type of people. And once that bar closed, the whole street changed and improved. So that helped all the storekeepers on the street.
And keeping a higher level, perhaps.
And encouraged new ones to open up, and so we're very lucky. In fact, I just spoke to a gentleman who is at that corner today about that very situation. And,
it makes a big difference,
doesn't it? Of course it does. Of course
it does. I mean, social levels mean a great deal.
If we would attract the wrong kind of people.
Can you remember one interesting, different experience that took place in your store? Something unusual?
Not really, except when celebrities come. It's exciting, and we all enjoy it, I especially.
Can you mention another celebrity other than those that we've mentioned?
I wish I could think of it right now, but I really can't. I don't dwell on it, it's just all...
Well, while you're thinking, I'm going to turn this tape